First, I'd like to thank all the teachers this morning for teaching and for presenting the word. Especially, like to thank Paul. He did double duty today. He had the first sermon or the first lesson, and then he had class. And if you were here and you heard that first one, he said, it might have been almost the first slide. It said, "Assumption is the mother of mistake." Is that pretty close, Paul? So I'm sure there's a bunch of you out there assuming, since I'm a fill-in speaker, that it's going to be really short. And you know what my answer is, of course. Remember the next slide? Maybe. No, it should be pretty short. I didn't time it, but I'm gonna talk about teaching a little bit. I think this is what it's gonna be about. In 1970, a guy named Graham Nash wrote a song, and it was entitled "Teach Your Children Well." I know all you parents know that children like to they're gonna learn from their parents, and they imitate their parents. So teaching our children is very, very, very important. And that song, I can't remember if it made a number one in the charts, but it was one of my favorite songs. And every time I hear the song, I think back to when it came out, and some of the lines in it about teaching our children. Recently, our VBS study was Daniel. David. And a few years ago, we had Daniel, and then the second quarter, the last quarter on our Wednesday night class was about Daniel. So these wonderful stories about David and Goliath and Daniel and the lion's den and the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were shared again by teachers during those events. This is word of mouth teaching. That's a term that I've heard all my life. Teaching our children these true stories is very important. And if I were to ask right now, if I were to ask everybody to raise your hand, I'm not going to do it. But how many of you heard those stories before you actually read them? I'm pretty sure everybody in here would say, "Yeah, I did. I heard them before I read them." You either heard them from a preacher's sermon, or you heard them from your parents at home, or from a Sunday school class, or even a VBS class. Maybe your very first memories of David and Goliath was a VBS class. The fact is that many of you out there are advanced Bible students, and every once in a while, after listening to a sermon, you'll say to yourself, "Well, I never thought about it that way." Or you might say, "How could I have missed that all these years studying that?" Well, you were just taught by word of mouth. In Acts 17 and 10, the brethren immediately sent Paul away, Paul and Silas by the night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether these things be so or not. They heard the word, and then they went and read about it. What about your parent? Wait a minute. I think I got another sheet here. Yeah, what about your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents? I was lucky enough to know four of my grandparents and to spend time with them. I had a great-grandmother, but I just barely can remember her. And they were a source of learning when I was young. I would spend lots of weekends with them, and spend a lot of time in the summer with my grandparents. You'll learn a lot. You probably y'all too, if you had grandparents or close to them, you learned a lot. I'm going to pick on somebody right now. Alex is 18 years old, right? So he's known Buster for how long? Somewhere close to 18 years. If you were to ask after church, if you ask Alex, did he learn very much from Buster? He's going to probably say he did. And you ask him, well, did you read it? And he'll probably say, no, I was just there with him and learned as we went along. That about right, Alex? So keep that in mind of how important it is your parents and grandparents teaching children. Now kind of moving to the next part. I've been studying timelines lately. I gotten real interested in biblical timelines, and I want to share some quick thoughts about word of mouth and about timelines or genealogies. You know, genealogies, those are those chapters and books in the Bible that when you're reading through the Bible, when you get to them, you just tend to kind of skip past them and move on to something else. But that stuff is in there for a reason. God wanted us to know those people, how the genealogies went from way back all the way up. And the period of time I want to talk about this morning is from Adam to Moses. And it spans about 2,500 years or so. Most of the information that I've got here comes out of Genesis, chapters 5, 10, 11, and some other places. Well, when you're studying that, what you kind of come to realize is that most all of Bible history was passed on by word of mouth until Moses' time. And then Moses was credited, or has been credited, with writing or putting in words the first five books of the Old Testament. Word of mouth continues. After Moses started writing it down, we got the written word now. But as I just kind of demonstrated, word of mouth is still a real good way of teaching. Specific verses, and I'm going to read some parts of verses, describe Moses actively writing down the events, the commands, and some of the songs given by God. Exodus 17:14, God commands Moses, write these on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it. That was from a different version I normally read. The King James said, and rehearse it with Joshua's ears. In other words, he wanted Moses made sure that Joshua understood what he was writing down. Exodus 24:4, Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. Numbers 33:2, at the Lord's command, Moses recorded these stages in their journey. These are the starting points for the journeys they made. And then in Deuteronomy 31:9, Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the Levitical priests and to all the elders of Israel. So you can see that's where God was telling Moses to write it down. In the Old Testament, there's some more later on writers. Joshua 8:31-32, Joshua follows the commands written in the book of the law of Moses. And then Ezra 6:18, the priests are organized as it is written in the book of Moses. And Malachi 4:4, the prophet Malachi admonishes Israel to remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him on Horeb. In the New Testament, we've got some examples about Moses being identified as the writer. Matthew 19:8, Jesus refers to a teaching from the law stating, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. In John 5:46, Jesus states to his followers, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. And then in Acts 15 and 21, James notes that for the law of Moses, he is preached in every city from the earliest times. The one little catch on that is the end of Deuteronomy records the death of Moses, so and that kind of thing. So a lot of the scholars think that probably Joshua or the Eleazar, the priest, probably wrote the last part of that, but Moses is credited with all of the first part. So let's see. Okay, the timeline, and I made this timeline up. It's real simple. It's not accurate, but it will kind of, you can get a visual of overlaps of what I'll be talking about. Timeline from Adam to Moses is about 2,553 years. From the creation to flood spans about 1,656 years. And then from the flood to Abraham, about 400 years. And from Abraham to Moses, somewhere around 400 to 450 years. Moses was born in the 26th generation from Adam. Okay, I'm trying to make sure I'm on the right slide. Adam lived how long? 930 years. He died 216 years before the birth of Noah. Bear with me; it'll start to build, make sense maybe. Seth was Adam's third son, Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. Seth lived for 912 years. Seth knew Adam for about 800 years. And then also, Seth knew Noah for about 34 years. Think about the overlap there. First-hand knowledge. All right, slide. Okay, Methuselah was the fourth great-great-great-grandson of Seth. Methuselah lived 969 years. Supposedly the oldest man that ever lived. In fact, everything you see in biblical stuff or in secular stuff, it talks about how old something is. People say, old as Methuselah. Out in California somewhere, there's a tree out there. They named it Methuselah because it's supposed to be the oldest living thing on the earth. And I'm going to do the generations from Methuselah, from Seth to Methuselah, because I refer to it as the fourth great-grandson. I'm not going to do all of them later on, but Seth begat Enos. Enos begat Canaan. Canaan begat Mahalalel, Mahalalel begat Jared, Jared begat Enoch, and Enoch begat Methuselah. So that's where I got the fourth great-great-grandson. All right. Methuselah, okay, Methuselah knew Adam for 243 years, and Methuselah knew Seth for 355 years. I don't know whether that's making sense yet or not, but all this overlap, it's kind of like the overlap I talked about between Alex and Buster. It's time spent together learning things, so it's very important that we realize those big overlaps back that time. Okay, slide. All right. Lamech was the son of Methuselah. He lived for 777 years. He actually died before his father died. Uh, Lamech was the father of Noah. And he died about 5 years before the flood. All right. Yeah, about 5 years before the year. There we go. All right, Noah. Noah lived 950 years. Of course, that was that was Lamech's son. Methuselah knew Noah for 600 years. Think of the overlap there. Methuselah lived 600 years, and he died the year of the flood. Noah talked with his father, Lamech, for 595 years. Okay, I put a red line in the screen, so now you see the people that lived before the flood, and we'll see who lived after the flood. Of course, Noah and Shem, the main ones I'm talking about, Shem. Let me find the next slide. Look at the next slide. All right, Shem was the second son of, he was Noah's second son, and he lived 600 years. And he talked with Methuselah for 98 years. And, of course, that was before the flood. And then, of course, he lived 502 years after the flood. Heber lived 464 years. He was the great grandson of Shem, and he lived 464 years. All right, he knew both Noah and Shem, of course. All that knowledge is passed on there. And then Terah lived 205 years. He's the third great-grandson of Heber, lived 205 years. He was 130 years old when Abraham was born, and Abraham knew Shem. There it is. Abraham knew Shem, son of Noah, for 150 years. Noah died 2 years before Abraham was born. He talked with both Abraham, with both Noah and Shem. It's hard to keep up which slide I'm supposed to be on. Abraham lived 175 years. Noah died 2 years before Abraham was born. I don't have slide numbers, so I don't know where I am. All right. Isaac was, of course, the son of Abraham. Isaac lived 180 years. He knew Shem for about 50 years. Now, think about that. Isaac knew Shem for 50 years, so he had information that Shem brought back before the flood, which is it's amazing to me to look back at that stuff. And then what was Isaac's son? Isaac's son was Jacob. Jacob was called, his name was changed to Israel, and he was what? The father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob lived 147 years. Jacob, actually, Abraham was still alive for 20 years of Jacob's life. Levi lived 137 years. He was the third oldest son of Jacob. He knew Isaac about 45 years and knew his grandson. Of course, he would know his grandson, Amram, which was the father of Moses. Korah is Levi's son, or Amram's father. Amram lived 137 years. He was Moses' father. And then, of course, Moses lived 120 years. So the whole point of this is look at the links and the overlaps from Adam to Moses. You got Adam to Methuselah and Methuselah to Shem. Shem, of course, the line's not exactly right. Shem was before the flood, and then Isaac, Levi. All of that history, those people were passed down, and all the stories were passed down all the way down to Moses, and that's when God finally told Moses to write that stuff down. So, what do we teach our children? What is it that we teach our children? We need to teach our children how to become a Christian, how to live a Christian life. What are the steps? What are the steps in becoming a Christian, obeying the gospel? Because we hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and then live a faithful life. The first step is hearing, right? So I got a few scriptures here I want to read. The Ethiopian eunuch, everybody probably remembers that story in Acts. It's in Acts 8, and I'm going to read from 26 through 35. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Cadence, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except someone guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of Scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered to Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So that's a real good lesson on what we need to do. If we find somebody needing or wanting to know, we for sure need to teach them Jesus, and you can start anywhere you want to, but preach Jesus to them and how to be a Christian. What about the Jews on Pentecost, Acts 37? And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So there's another good example of hearing first and then acting on the word. So it's this timeline that I had up here starts at Adam, and we looked at it briefly all the way to Moses. That same timeline continues all the way down to Jesus. In fact, the timeline actually continues to today. Because after Jesus, we're still here. So So the timeline, so what, that's going to be what, somewhere around maybe 6,000 years total. It's real important to think about that timeline. That's why God put it in there, so we'll know that it's true. It started at the very beginning, and it came all the way down to Jesus. All we got to do is believe in Jesus, obey the gospel, and live the faithful life, do what it needs to be a Christian, and then we got a hope in heaven. Johnny had a lesson years ago, and it's always stuck with me. And one of his first few statements, he said, if you can't believe Genesis 1:1, the rest of this Bible don't mean a whole lot. And I agree with that. That time, all those stories and that timeline, all the way back to the very first thing, it's in there to let us know that how to get to Jesus and how to be saved. So, with all that said, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, now is the best time to do it. Don't put it off. If you're struggling with the word, with what to do, there are many folks right here in this building that can help you understand and learn. We can teach you, help you understand and find your way to heaven. If you need the prayers of the church, you need to make your life right with God, now would be a good time to come forward while we stand and sing.